Welcome to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. Your host, Jen Narciso, interviews amazing guests each week to help you become educated, be inspired by other money stories, and stay motivated on your own wealth-building journey. No matter where you are financially, whether you're in debt or financially free, this podcast is for you. Now sit back and enjoy.
Welcome back to the Investor Mama Podcast, Money Conversations with a Mom's Touch. I'm your host, Jen Narciso. Thank you for tuning in. On today's episode, I interview Samantha Barkley, founder of A Mom Around Town. Samantha is an engineer by day and a mom blogger by night. On today's episode, we get to hear a little bit about her money story and learn how to prioritize, set deadlines, and create work blocks in order to get more done with less time. There's some really great tips in here that she has to offer, and I'm so excited for you to be able to learn from them and implement them in your own life. So Samantha, welcome to today's show. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to have you. I know we're going to get into the meat of this later, but Sam is expert on how to be productive. I know a lot of you are on the path to financial independence and are trying to learn more about finances. And in order to do so, though, being a mom and having so many responsibilities with your children and work and all of the above, I'm really excited to hear what Sam has to say about tips and tricks on how to best utilize your time and be as productive as possible. So before we get into the meat, Sam, I'd love to know what your money story is and how you got started.
Yeah, well, I'm probably the definition of frugal. I have always been very much of a saver. I don't know if it's just there's always something I'm excited to buy later. And I've always had buyer's remorse. Oh my gosh, do I really need this? I should instead save my money. So I don't know where the heck that came from, because my parents don't seem to have that same problem. So, but luckily my husband has kind of the opposite point of view. So we meet in the middle, and he makes sure that I enjoy life a little bit, and I make sure that we have enough money in the bank to cover everything. So we have a good back and forth. But I am an engineer by day. That's what I do as a living. That has been my full-time gig through having a baby. So I have a 2.5-year-old, Cole. And when I was on maternity leave, I was coming off of a job that I traveled a whole lot and was like, man, now I have a baby. I'm not sure I can do this traveling anymore. I'm not sure that I want to. So I started thinking about whether or not I could do my own thing and start my own business and be able to make enough to quit my job and stay home more full time and do that. So that was about 1.5 years ago. And that's when I started A Mom Around Town. And I definitely haven't quite gotten to that financial independence mark yet. It's still very much growing, and I'm learning the social media world and the online business world in between full-time job and, you know, mothering. So, but
it's a lot.
It is a lot. Yes. But it's been a good steady learning curve to be able to grow it and to learn some of the business pieces, so that honestly, if it never becomes full-time and it becomes our vacation fund, I think that is well worth it as well. So
that's awesome. Well, what are some of the challenges that you face as mom and then now business owner?
I think any mom doing anything, it's time, right? Time is our precious commodity that we can never find enough of, whether it's trying to maintain the household and do the cooking and cleaning and make sure that there's clean underwear in everybody's drawers, or it's working full-time, maybe working multiple jobs or trying to juggle all the kids going all the places. We just tend to always need more time, right? So I think that's definitely my, like many others, that's my biggest obstacle, is finding the time that I would like to dedicate to my business, to my family, and to having a little downtime. Now that Disney Plus is available, I mean, that's... I need more downtime. So
yeah, we have not taken the plunge and purchased Disney Plus yet. Ooh. I am holding off for as long as possible, but it's sitting there when you turn on Netflix and it's right, the little icon right next. Do we buy it? Do we not? But I don't want to waste the money.
Yeah. So that's definitely the hardest thing. And that's honestly one of the reasons I started working with prioritizing and schedule blocking. And I got all of that down into a guide that I'm able to share with moms and help them find ways to make the most of their time as well.
No, I'm totally giving you this opportunity to plug because I did check out your guide and I thought it was really awesome. What is the name of your guide?
It's called the To-Done List Handbook. So we all have to-do lists and this will help you get them done. You can find it at bit.ly/done handbook.
I'll post in the show notes too, that resource. Perfect. And you have another resource, another tool that you wrote as well.
Yeah, the Happiness Guide is the second one, and it is a really quick 1 or 2 minutes that you can sit down and set an intention for the day and allow yourself to focus on one little thing that you can do today to be successful. So they're really simple things like breathe might be one of them. And it's just that little reminder that, hey, when I'm getting frustrated that my kid hasn't put their shoes on for the 10th time I've asked, I just need to take a deep breath and breathe before I yell or say something that I didn't want to say, or I just get frustrated and instead I can take a deep breath and move on. So they're really little things. There's 7 focus points. You focus on one a day for a week. And the idea is just that they're going to lift you up, make you more present and happier, right? A happiness guide. They're super simple. That one is bit.ly/get happy.
Great. And I'll post that in the show notes too. And I'm really excited to jump into the meat on really what are some tools and strategies for being productive with less time. I mean, I speak for myself, but being a full-time or being a mom, I shouldn't say full-time, but working full-time and having a business and we own a couple of real estate properties and just running around and you know, taking care of some things with my mom. And it's just life. I'm no different than anybody else. I know everyone has crazy schedules. When you have a toddler, or you have multiple toddlers or multiple kids, your life is never your own anyway. So I'd love to jump in. And if you can help me understand what you do to be productive and tips and guides, I think that would be really awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. So the number one thing, which maybe isn't surprising and a lot of people talk about, is prioritize, right? So if we have 100 things on the list, we are never going to get to them all, first off. And it drives us crazy, right? Because we start on one thing and then we're like, oh gosh, but this is more important. And we bounce all over the place, which means we are never able to really get something fully done because we spend 10 minutes working on it, and then we get distracted by the kids coming up and doing something, and then we start working on something else, and all of a sudden, the whole day has gone by, and we got half the dishwasher done, and half of our blog post written, and we never got something fully completed. So my recommendation is your list, your key list, the things that have to get done today, you should have 2 to 3 things, and that's it. Which I know some people will be like, what? I can't only get 2 or 3 things done. But if they're the most important things that you have to get done, just focus on those things and get them fully done. And then if there's time, you have the time to work on a couple other things, or you have the downtime that you really need, but then you've accomplished something for the day, which is going to give you a boost and a motivation to keep going tomorrow, right? So 2 or 3 things that you absolutely have to get done today and only focus on those. So the other half of how that works though, is that you have to have a deadline, and we work best in schedule blocks. So deadlines are really important, and I have kind of a funny, so a couple of years ago, we were buying a new couch, which sounds really simple, right? But if you've made a big purchase, a new TV, a new car, a new piece of furniture, I spent literally weeks scrolling through Wayfair and scrolling Amazon. I went to multiple different stores and shopped around. And the couch that we bought was the very first one that we sat on. And because I never gave myself a deadline, I never had an end in sight, I was like, well, I should just keep looking and looking and looking, right? And so we keep on this perpetual treadmill to try to find the perfect, or getting something done perfectly instead of getting it done to what is the best that we can in the time that we need to do it. You know what I mean? We spin and spin and spin, and we re-edit, and we try to make the plan so perfect instead of just going out and getting it done. So the second thing is, after you have your priorities, set yourself a deadline for them. When I start working on something, I literally set a timer and say, I have 45 minutes to get this done, and then I'm done with it. And when that timer goes off, I stop and I take a break. Giving yourself that deadline makes you laser focused to get that stuff done, and then you can be done and you can move on.
I'm just curious because I find myself in this boat too. So let's say I set a deadline for 45 minutes to work on my blog and I write the article, but I know it's not done. I know I need to go back and I'll just do it good enough that I know I'm missing pieces. I may need to reference something, or I may need to go back and edit. I know that there's gaps in what I'm writing. Mm-hmm. I just did this, so it's perfect timing that you mentioned this. And then I was done, and I had the mindset, okay, I'm done. But I know I need to go back, and I have not gone back to it yet. Mm-hmm. And I really don't need to do much, but I need to do it. And now I feel this burden is hanging over my head that just won't go away, but I haven't been able to bring myself to just finish the article. So I'm curious, what advice can you give me? Because I'm sure other people out there are in a similar situation as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's those little things that, it's the emails that you haven't replied to, that you're like, I don't exactly know what I want to say. I'll get to it later. You know, it's all of those little things that pile up and they're the stuff you just don't want to do. And so they just sit there, right? And I think one is it has to become an important thing to be able to actually get it done, right? So it has to hit your priority list. And then I think you have to give yourself, I would maybe block time where that's your only focus, which is similar to a deadline, right? But it's actually blocking a little piece of your day to say, for this half an hour, hour, whatever, I'm going to work down this list of stuff I just have to get done. And I'm a super delayed gratification person. I would totally set myself a reward at the end of that, because I have a lot of time devoted into family and work and all of that stuff. I don't have very many shows anymore that I just get to sit and watch and relax. So that's often my like, okay, I'm going to plow through this. I've got to get this stuff done. And that's going to be my downtime relax tonight, or, you know, whatever it is that you need to give yourself some motivation. But yeah, that would be my, give yourself a little reward. Everybody likes stickers, right? So that's why we give them to our kids.
Nah, I like that. Yeah. Cause even sometimes finishing podcast episodes, I do the bulk. I know it's done, but I still may need to do editing on the intro or editing on the outro, and it's a weight on my shoulders that I just need to get done. And if I actually focused on it, I probably could do it in 20 minutes, but because I feel it's done, it's hard for me to get back. So I definitely will try that though, the reward, and also just putting in my calendar, I think is also a great tip.
Yeah, that totally leads into the third thing that I think is really critical, and that's those work blocks. So that is a perfect example of, if every Monday from 1 to 1:30 is my get those things done time, right? It's my record all my intros at the same time for the next month's worth of podcasts or whatever it might be. And then it doesn't have to weigh on you the rest of the week, because you know on Monday, I'm going to get that done. That is what my time is dedicated towards. So when you're working on Thursday or Friday, the few days before, it doesn't have to bog you down, right? Or it's not nipping in the back of your mind when you're like, I could be doing this instead. So I would definitely suggest looking at your calendar, looking at your schedules, and just blocking time for certain things. So emails are one really good one. There's, I think it's the 4-Hour Workweek book talks about not checking responding to emails.
I could put a link to that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, that is an interesting read for sure. But yeah, one of the things he talks about is emails and how we waste a lot of time responding so often throughout the day to emails because we disrupt whatever we're doing because an email pops up and we respond to it. So he suggests right after lunch or at the end of the day, schedule out yourself half an hour, hour, whatever it takes. And that's all you focus on. And then you stop looking at your emails and you start working on something else when it's done. So I think that's a really interesting one. But yeah, there's lots of things. If you work outside the home, maybe meetings are a big one and they disrupt your day. So if you had a meetings block where this is the time you have meetings, or this is the time you network, and then you're not scheduling them all over the place. And everybody works differently, but a lot of times those top two or three priorities, schedule those right up front, right? So schedule those as the first thing you do during the day so that they absolutely get done, and then you can get into the rest of your day. I actually have a sample calendar that you can see if you check out the guide.
Awesome. Yeah, that's great. Looking to make money during this crazy pandemic? Want something that's flexible and doesn't take a ton of time, but can actually generate some serious cash? I'm talking an extra $1,000 to $2,000 a month. Well, creating Facebook ads is the perfect thing for you then. Not sure what that is or how you can actually profit? Well, check out the Facebook ad course created by Mike Yonda and Bobby Hoyt from Laptop Empires. This course teaches you step by step on how you can profit from helping businesses and individuals with their Facebook ads. I personally purchased the course and went through it. It was amazing. To learn more, go to investormama.com/makemoney. Again, that's investormama.com/makemoney, all one word. There's also a link in the show notes.
Do you have any other tips for how to be more productive? Or I hate the term time management because you can't manage your time. Your time is your time, but you can manage yourself to be better at being more productive with your time. So yeah, I'm just curious if you have any other tips or tricks that you use that could help.
Yeah, I guess I would have two other little things. So they are really actually little. One of them is called micro breaks, which maybe sounds counterproductive, right? Taking breaks. But we actually, attention span wise and focus wise, the optimal work time is 52 minutes or something kind of random like that, but it's just under an hour. So when you set these blocks of times that you're focused and working on something, if you set that alarm for between 40, 50 minutes or 45 to 60 minute mark, even if you're not done, even if it's something that's going to actually take you 4 hours to get done, set those blocks in 50 minute increment and then take a little break. And maybe you don't have time to take a whole 10 minute break. If you push back from your computer or stop whatever you're doing and actually take a deep breath, maybe close your eyes for a second and breathe it out, that's a micro break. And it's just a little tiny thing to reset your mind. But if you've ever done this, stared at your computer for 3 hours straight, by the end of it, you're kind of mush, right? Not even thinking straight. So if you would stop every 50 minutes or so and just even for 15 seconds, just closed your eyes and took some deep breaths, when you got back to it, you would be more focused and ready to go. So micro breaks are really great. And your phone is a terrible distraction, but it has the timer on it, or maybe your watch if you have a Fitbit or an Apple Watch or whatever, you can set your timer. So take that time to take a quick walk to the kitchen or whatever it might be, just to get yourself away from whatever you're doing and then come back refreshed and ready to go again.
So Sam, I have not done this yet, but I'm curious, does it disrupt your flow if you're in the zone and then you take a break? How do you not get too distracted that you go back and you only give yourself 10 minutes? I know for me, if I were to use my phone as a timer, you know, check Facebook, you check your email, you check this, you check that. So yeah, how do you balance that break and then get back into the groove?
Okay, so maybe you need an egg timer instead.
Yeah. Yeah, that's for sure.
No, that's a great question. Yes, that should follow up with almost an intention setting, right? I totally should have mentioned this. This is such a great point. This is how I do it. And obviously take what works for you and then leave the rest. But I set my timer on my phone and I put it literally down away from me where I can't see it anymore. And then I say out loud, depending on if you work with other people, you can say it quietly. But I say, this is what I'm going to get done in this 50 minute work block. So if I'm working on a report for somebody at work, right? I might say in this 50 minutes, I'm going to complete the first three sections of this report because maybe it's really long and then I'm going to take a break. So, but I actually tell myself, this is what I'm going to get done. So then if you are really in the middle of something that's working well for you, obviously finish the sentence or finish whatever you're working on. You just don't want to go for another hour, right? So if you're really jamming and whatever is flowing, finish up that little piece. And then when you come back, reset that intention to say, now I'm going to finish this section. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, that totally does. Awesome. All these strategies are great. I really wanted to implement some of them because I know I'm just terrible with my phone and looking at it and getting distracted, and I will be doing something. But even when I'm on my computer, if I'm writing something, it's just so easy to click that button to get online and or to look something up. And as you're researching something or whatever you're doing, or even if you're doing the dishes and your kid does something and you just glance and then done, your attention span's shot.
Yeah.
So
No, that's totally true. And I think the computer and the phone is definitely the hardest. I don't know how many times I've opened up my phone with a specific intention of doing something, and then I see the notification on Instagram and 5 minutes later, I'm like, why did I open my phone? So yeah, absolutely. And the more we can limit those distractions and set those work blocks, I think the better. Set a work block for mindlessly scrolling on your phone. That's totally okay to give yourself the block of time that you need, because I think we all need that mindlessness, whatever it might be. It might be reading for you or some type of crafting thing, or maybe it's scrolling through Instagram. We need that time as well to shut our brains down a little bit. And so it's okay to schedule that and then know when it's time to get to work. I've already had that time. I have to shut it off. And that definitely takes a lot of self-discipline, right, to be able to do that. But take the little steps to be able to set it in a different area, set it in a different room, turn off your Wi-Fi and work through Word and then copy it into your post or whatever if you need to limit distractions, for sure.
I love this because I know a lot of people out there who are trying to reach financial independence oftentimes are doing a side hustle or trying to create extra income or in doing investments. But anything you really do, unless you're doing a complete passive investing in index funds or something like that, and even then you still would want to research what you're investing in. And it just gets so easy as a mom to get distracted and get lost in the million other things. So I think the tips you provided, Sam, are very helpful and I really appreciate it.
I hope so. Yeah. Oh, I said I had two and I only gave you one. Okay, the very last one. If you're working, I feel this works more for a computer than if you're working around house stuff. But there's always those random things that pop into your head. Oh my gosh, I forgot to order XYZ from Amazon, right? I need our toilet paper or diapers, whatever it might be.
I'll be honest, that happens at 10 o'clock at night as I'm in bed. I'm about to fall asleep. And I'm like, oh, I got to do my to-do list. Da, 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 da. My head spins.
Yes. So have a post-it note or a little notebook or whatever that's what that's for by wherever your work. So while you're working, if that pops in your head, write it down and then keep chugging so that you can come back to it later and you don't lose it. But don't stop what you're doing to go take care of that, because that's when you start going down that rabbit hole, right? So jot it down. Now, obviously, you have to come back to it, and that's always a whole other discussion. But that'll at least keep you focused on what you're doing right now. So that tip is actually from Amy Porterfield, and I thought it was genius. So.
Yeah, I haven't heard that, and I actually really like that. Again, a lot of it is just getting it out. Once it's in your brain, it just pent up, and then it's that weight. But if you just get it done and get it out, then you can just continue being focused or continue with whatever you're doing. So awesome. Awesome tip.
Yeah. So I know. And then it's always frustrating when 3 days later you're like, I forgot to order that. And so give yourself a little note and come back to it.
Awesome.
Yeah. There's a few more within the guide. Those are my favorite ones. But then I also have some videos that you can watch with some examples and stuff like that you can check out.
Great. Well, thank you so much. At this point in the show, I'd like to transition into our lightning round. This is where I'll ask you four questions, the same four questions I ask all my guests. Question number one, what is one fun fact about you that not many people know?
Oh my goodness. Fun fact. So I actually spent a year in an island called Trinidad and Tobago right after college doing research. But while I was there, we went on an alligator excursion and just run down the river and watched for alligators. So that was one of my favorite things that I did while I was there. It was really fun.
That's awesome. What research were you doing?
I had a Fulbright scholarship, and the research was focused on continuity of care within HIV clinics. They have a really high HIV population there, and we were focused on how they could see different clinics throughout the island and make sure they were getting consistent care. It was an interesting project.
Well, actually, this kind of leads into question number two. Yeah. Who inspires you the most and why?
I kind of go with the corny answer of my mom. She's
no, that's not corny. That's not corny at all.
Yeah, she is definitely somebody who is just really amazing and inspiring. She has done all the things, right? Like, she's been a stay-at-home mom. She's been a work-at-home mom, building her own business. She has been at a corporate job. She's done all the things from a business standpoint while raising her kids, which I think is amazing. And she's just somebody that is always there whenever I need something, and she gets it, and she listens, and then she always gives me the best advice. I really appreciate her, and I'm totally amazed by all the things that she's accomplished.
I think it's really awesome that it sounds like you are generational business owners. So strong, powerful female moms who are juggling a lot, but still providing for your family, which is fantastic.
Absolutely.
Well, question number three is, what book are you reading now or have read and love and would recommend?
I've taken a little break from business books because I was getting overwhelmed with all of the things because I was always reading them before bed. Then my head started spinning. But
not the best time to read a business book.
Right. I know. It's terrible. Yeah. I still love Rachel Hollis's two books, Girl Stop Apologizing and Girl Wash Your Face.
Can you quickly just say what they're about?
Yeah. Girl, Wash Your Face is not really a business book, but it's all about getting out of your own way. She relays a lot of really fun personal stories, but they're all about owning that inner power that you have and going after what you want. And then Girl, Stop Apologizing is the second one. And it is, on a business standpoint, really focused in on how to go from wherever you're at to where you want to be. So it goes over goal setting, how to set yourself a roadmap, and how to give yourself the discipline to get there. So yeah, super good. And she's a funny writer, so it keeps you going.
I'll have to check them out, and I'll definitely post them in the show notes. Thank you.
Yeah.
The final question, question number 4. What is one actionable tip or piece of advice that you can tell our moms out there to help them on their financial independence journey?
Listen to this podcast, I think is my first. No.
Thank you. I like that answer.
We'll go with that. Well, I am not a financially savvy person. Like I said, I just don't like spending money. It makes me nervous. To me, I think being on the same page as whoever you're with in life, whether it's your spouse, if it's just you, then rock it. Maybe it's your kids that you need to get on the same page with. But I think if you are going to really strive towards financial independence and getting debt free and building a business, whatever it might be, you have to be on the same page as the people supporting you and around you, and you have to be going towards those goals together. So if you're doing something and your spouse is kind of counteracting it in whatever they're doing, you're not going to get there. So I guess that would be my piece, is get aligned with whoever is with you in your journey. And maybe it's just friends. Maybe you need their help so that you're not going out to eat all the time, or whatever it might be. Align the people that you're around towards your goals.
That's a great answer. I'm curious, were you and your husband on the same page when you were starting your business and doing everything that you were doing? Or did you have any struggles that you had to overcome?
Yeah, that's a good question. He's incredibly supportive. I think he absolutely recognized that I needed something different and needed some sort of creative outlet that was different than my regular job, and that I really wanted the opportunity to try to be at home more. He was really supportive in that, but I think it's an ongoing thing between the two of us that we need to find the balance between my full-time job, my time at home, and my time working on the business. So it's a constant back and forth that we're having to discuss, you know, is some sort of investment that I'm making in the website worthwhile for our family? Is it going to pay off? And it kind of gives me the responsibility to almost give him a little bit of a business plan. This is my thought process through this, which helps me own that decision and make sure I think things through really well. But he hasn't said no to anything yet. He's really supportive. He just walked in the door, and so I'm sure he's really interested in what I'm talking about.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Sam, for coming on today's show. You were fantastic and you gave amazing tips. How can we connect to you further if we have any questions or want to learn more about you and your blog?
Absolutely. So amomaroundtown.com is the website and the blog. And you can find me on all the things, Facebook, Pinterest, and LinkedIn at amomaroundtown. And then Instagram is amomaroundtownstl.
Well, thank you so much, Sam. I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Yeah, thanks so much. Happy financial independencing, everybody.
Thank you.
All right, that wraps up today's episode with Samantha Barkley from A Mom Around Town. Don't forget, go to investormama.com/connect to join the Facebook group, follow us on Instagram, and join the tribe. Share questions, post stories. I want your feedback. I want to engage. So continue the conversation. Go to investormama.com/connect. And this is Investor Mama. See you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Investor Mama podcast. If you like today's episode, please support us by clicking subscribe on the platform you are currently listening to, leaving a comment or awesome review, and spreading the wealth and sharing this podcast with friends and family or on social media. Don't forget to check out investormama.com to connect with our community and sign up for our email. Stay tuned for next week's episode.